Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader says he does not agree with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's decision to withhold pay raises for university employees. It's Tuesday, December 5th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, several unions have filed a lawsuit challenging the law that stripped bargaining rights from most public employees. And as we head into the holiday season, COVID activities on the rise, I'll be chatting with Dr. Ryan Westergaard from the Department of Health Services on how we can prevent getting seriously sick. Stay with us.
Politics, environment, trade, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin's Republican Senate leader says he does not support withholding pay raises for university employees in an attempt to dismantle campus equity, diversity, and inclusion programs. Rich Kramer has more.
In an interview with Wisconsin Eye, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue was asked about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's decision to withhold pay raises for around 34,000 employees of the universities of Wisconsin. Voss has said the UW doesn't deserve any more state support unless DEI staff and policies are eliminated. Lemahue says he supports the speaker's goal, but not the approach.
A lot of the employees who work at the UW system have no control over the DEI protocol, and they're just going in and doing their jobs, cutting the grass or doing maintenance or whatever.
Lemahue says he hopes to see the raises approved by the end of the legislative session early next year. A spokesperson for Voss did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And a quick note, WPR workers are employees of UW-Madison. Several unions filed a lawsuit last week challenging Wisconsin Act 10. That's former Republican Governor Scott Walker's signature law that stripped bargaining rights for most public employees. The Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the law about a decade ago, but the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz earlier this year gave the court a new liberal majority. Protasiewicz called Act 10 unconstitutional during her campaign. She also said she may recuse herself from any cases challenging the law. UW-Madison political science professor Howard Schwaber says the decision to recuse may come down to whether Protasiewicz would determine the result.
The hard situation would be if it turned out that she intends to vote to strike down Act 10, that with her vote, Act 10 would be struck down, and that without her vote, there would be a tie, and so it would survive. In that situation, of course, it's a much more difficult calculation to make.
That challenge to Act 10 first has to make its way through lower state courts. Some undocumented immigrants would become eligible for in-state tuition and professional licenses under a slate of bipartisan bills in the Wisconsin legislature. The bills would affect recipients of the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA, that gives some immigrants work permits. But Republican Representative John Mako of Ledgeview, who co-authored the bills, said Wisconsin's DACA recipients can't get professional state licenses. He said changing that would help with Wisconsin's workforce shortage.
Under current law, we are now graduating nurses, teachers, engineers, plumbers, who then cannot actually work here in the state of Wisconsin because they're unable to be licensed here and have to go elsewhere to actually get their license and work.
The bills are expected to get a committee hearing next week. Governor Tony Evers included similar proposals as part of his state budget, but they were removed by GOP lawmakers. The Appleton Area School District is partnering with a nonprofit to open an African-centered charter school. Corrine Hess reports the school will celebrate the cultural heritage of African descendants.
The Amaladi Academy will be open to all Appleton students enrolled in kindergarten through third grade. Beginning in the fall of 2024, the district is partnering with African Heritage, Inc. on the school. Superintendent Greg Hartjes says they have worked together on other projects.
It's not like they're a complete unknown. We trust their expertise in their areas, and then also we trust our expertise in the education side.
The district will hire the school staff, and the school will likely operate out of an existing Appleton District building. The Amaladi Academy will be Appleton's 14th charter school. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
COVID cases are back on the rise, along with other respiratory viruses. Coming up, I'll chat with Dr. Ryan Westergaard from the Department of Health Services on how we can all stay healthy this winter. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
COVID cases are on the rise once again across the state of Wisconsin, and joining us to discuss is Dr. Ryan Westergaard. We spoke a little while ago here on this program, and we talked about the potential for COVID cases to increase heading into the holiday season. We're a little bit removed now from Thanksgiving. We've had a little bit of time to look at some data. How are things looking as far as COVID cases across the state right now?
COVID activity has increased a bit since we last talked, but overall it's still at a level that's lower than the worst days of the pandemic back in 2021 and 2022. And there are three main sources of information that we look at to get a sense for how much COVID is going around Wisconsin. These are the number of people who are hospitalized with COVID, the percentage of COVID tests that are performed in laboratories that are positive, and finally, the level of COVID virus that's detected in samples taken from wastewater treatment facilities. All three of these indicators are saying that COVID activity has increased by about 50% since October.
50% since October. So we know that COVID is obviously on the rise looking at that data. Do we have any data to show other respiratory illnesses? You know, I know we're heading into this cold and flu season. What are some things people can do to reduce their chances of getting sick?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad you brought up the term cold and flu season. That's traditionally how we've referred to late fall and early winter as cold and flu season. We're encouraging people to think of it now as respiratory virus season, because if someone comes down with cold-like symptoms, it's almost certainly due to a virus. And the big three viruses in particular, those being influenza, COVID-19, and RSV, are the most important in terms of severe disease, and also important because we have new tools that have not been available in previous seasons to protect against severe disease. Updated flu and COVID shots are widely available in pharmacies, and now is the ideal time to get vaccinated if you haven't had them yet this fall.
When someone thought they had COVID a few years ago, if they had the sniffles, it was stay home, test, make sure you don't infect anybody else. Now it seems like there's more of a shift in culture back to where it was before. People have the sniffles or a bit of a cough, they're going to power through and maybe go to work. So if someone does have something that they're not sure if it's COVID or not, what's the best course of action to go about trying to make sure they can keep others safe?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up as well, particularly around the idea of home tests, because there had been a pause in the availability of free COVID tests earlier this year. But since November 20th, the U.S. government has resumed the program where every household in the country can sign up online and get four or more rapid COVID tests delivered to them for free in the mail. To do this, you go to covid.gov/tests. And I'd say it still is important if someone gets a sniffle to know whether it's COVID, because while many people, in fact, most people have some level of immune protection, it can still make vulnerable people very sick. So going to work and going to gatherings, people might feel up to it, but knowing that you have COVID is an important thing because there may be vulnerable people there who could get very sick from COVID. So it is different than it was in the past, but fortunately we have new tools to help people know whether they have COVID, and also medications to prevent people from requiring hospitalization if they do test positive. People should enjoy gathering for the holidays. I just say that these days it's very difficult to completely avoid being exposed to a respiratory virus, but being up to date with COVID and flu vaccines, it's the best strategy that we've got to minimize the chances of becoming seriously ill if and when we do.
I know your time is valuable. I appreciate you joining us. I just want to know, is there anything else that we should be aware of as we head into not only gathering for Christmas and New Year's, but then that bitter cold that's going to force us indoors for a few months after?
Yeah, there's one specific point that I'd like to emphasize, just because people don't know about it very much, and that's that there is a new vaccine for RSV that can be given to pregnant people. It's called Abrysvo. It's recommended to be given after 32 weeks of pregnancy to protect newborns from developing RSV disease and keeping them out of the hospital. And RSV is a virus that can be very serious for young infants. It's actually the number one reason that little babies get admitted to the hospital. So knowing that there's other tools like this new maternal vaccine is good for folks.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard with the Department of Health Services, thanks for joining us on Wisconsin Public Radio. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And that'll do it for Wisconsin Today. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and the people putting the podcast behind the scenes today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right back here on your podcast feed again tomorrow morning. Until then, spread the word about the show. Tell a friend. Why not, right? It always helps. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.